I'm feeling good tonight. Who's excited for Christmas? Whoop whoop! Yeah, it's officially Christmas season, December. The first Wednesday of December, I'm excited. My Christmas tree's up. Got a bunch of presents in my closet. None of them are for me, but that's okay. I'm not bitter. They're all for my kids or something like that. Whatever. No, I'm actually pretty excited. I love it. Chris, I love it. I don't know. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But I just, you know, I love the season. I love it that it's snowing up in the mountains, that it's raining down here, that it's foggy in the morning. Oh, dear Lord, can it get any better? Maybe it'll snow down here. That'd be so cool if it snowed again in San Bernardino. Remember when I was a little kid, it snowed. Well, technically it didn't really snow. It more like hailed a lot. And me and my brother, we lived down in San Bernardino, down off Baseline, and it hailed so hard, there was like this whole layer of hail all over our front backyard. Me and my brother made this nasty gray hail man. So gross. It's like dirt and more dirt and a little bit of cold water. It was disgusting. So awesome, though. An 8-year-old boy in San Bernardino could not have been any happier. Anyway, hey, that's enough about hail and stuff like that. Let's get into the Word of God. Hey, if you guys got your Bibles, you know, go ahead and do this. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews. I know that's not a very if you know anything about your Word, that's not probably a very Christmassy book in the Bible. But we're gonna go ahead and get into this in Hebrews 10th chapter. I want you to go ahead and do this. As you guys are flipping there, let's go ahead and pray and open up the Word tonight. So, Father God, we thank you tonight for your goodness. God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for this book, Lord God, that it's more than a book. It's more than just a bunch of verses and lines, whether it's on our lap in a book or whether it's in our phones, Lord God, or Father, whether it's we're looking at it up on the screens. God, we thank you that, God, these words are the words of life. So tonight, Lord, we ask, God, that you would cause these words to be life to us, that it change us from the inside out. God, that it would not leave us the same, but, Lord, we can leave this place knowing who you are in a deeper way. God, that we can be changed in the way we see our future. We can be changed in the way we see our family. God, that we can be changed in the way we view our neighborhood. That we can be changed, Lord God, in the way we even look at ourselves in the mirror, Lord. That you would become the lenses that we see our life through. So, Father, tonight, do that to us. Do that in us and through us. That we can cause that to happen to the people around us in our lives. Father God, as we pray tonight, we don't just pray for ourselves, but God, we pray for each and every other church and youth ministry in the Inland Empire, even around the world, God. Father, whether it's Emmanuel Baptist or Trinity, God, whether it's San Bernardino Community or The Way, Ecclesia, God, you know, wherever it is, Lord God, if they're talking about you, Jesus, God, we ask that you'd bless them just as you've blessed us in this place. Father, so, Father, we thank you. We honor you. We worship you, Father God, for these things. And everybody said, amen. Let's get into this today. Today, I want to talk to you guys. I guess if you were taking notes, because I know you are, if you were to put a title up at this, I would say the title today would be The Game Changer. That's right, The Game Changer. Pastor Richard, what are you talking about? Well, in history, in sports, in innovation, in different things, in different arenas of life, there's a status quo. There's a way things are, and there's a way things have always been. And people like to keep things the same. You know what I'm saying? We like to keep things even and level the playing field and all this type of jazz. But there's certain things in life, certain times, certain events that come along. And you can call them the game changer. It changes everything. When something happens and it's so crazy, it comes out of left field. When somebody steps onto the field or the court and their game is so far past all the other players, then that changes the way everything happens. For example, you know, World War II, you know, everything's going the same, and then all of a sudden America drops the nuclear bomb. Kaboom! Game changer. And the entire world was never the same after we dropped the bomb in Japan. You know, back in the day, there was a time where if you were going to talk on the phone, it had to be attached to a wall. If you wanted to talk on the phone in your room, you had to get one of those, like, 13-foot-long, extendy, elasty, stretchy things, and it would, like, go through the kitchen, down the hall, underneath your door, and you'd be, like, like this on the phone, see how far it could go. That was a mobile phone back in the day. Little long stringy extendy cords. And then all of a sudden, in the 80s, bam, Zach Morris came out with the brick. And all of a sudden, if you talked on it too long, it'd make you grow a third arm, but you could talk wherever there was a satellite, you know? And all of a sudden, it was a game changer. Apple, Steve Jobs comes out with the iPhone, bam, game changer. I don't need buttons no more. A cell phone made of glass? Really? That's kind of weird if you think about it. Anyway, game changer, man. I mean, all throughout the time, Michael Jordan, step on the court, bam, game changer. The Bulls, not now, but back in the day, Chicago was a force to be reckoned with. All of a sudden, when these things happen, when these people walk onto the field, Wayne Gretzky, hot hockey, I know nobody watches hockey in here, but brother was a game changer. He had to handle a puck. And here we are, December the 5th or something like that. And all of a sudden, we're in Christmas time. See, Christmas is about the ultimate game changer. You know, me and my wife, we were at Disneyland just the other day, and we're getting ready to leave because I was tired and my feet hurt and I wanted to just punch somebody. And I was done with Disneyland for the day. And we're going out, the kids are starting to fall asleep, and all of a sudden there's like, you know, Disneyland, it's like, can I just breathe? You know, get up out my face as I'm trying to leave. You know, you have like zero space getting through the little aisleways and stuff like that. And there was this huge ceremony going on. It was so bizarre. We had never seen it before. But there's this huge ceremony going on. There's like hundreds of people in Main Street as you're leaving out. It was really bizarre. I don't know if you saw it, but there's like this candle lighting ceremony. And it was really a trip. And we're like, what the heck's going on here? Why are they doing this? There's all these people crowded up. I can't even get out. I just wanna leave. Lord, take me now. And all of a sudden, we began to hear this guy on a microphone at the front of the stage, and he began to talk, and he began to quote the Bible in Disneyland. And I thought, what the heck? So all of a sudden, we stopped, and we averted our attention to the man with the microphone. And brother started preaching in Disneyland. And they didn't even like tackle him or nothing like that. No, but this part of this candle lighting ceremony, they were singing Christmas carols about Jesus, and he began quoting Bible verses about Jesus. And he said this Disney, this secular place where they talk about witches and magic and turning your mom into a bear. This man began to talk about Jesus, saying that there was nobody in history before or after him that influenced the world like he did. He split time in half. His birth changed the way we live life. And here's I don't even know if these people believe in Jesus, but they were talking about Jesus. You see, Jesus is the game changer. I don't know what happens in your life, but when Jesus steps onto the court in your life, you could be down 50 points. But all of a sudden, Jesus walks in with his headband and his tiny shorts. And brother, it's a game changer. You may be behind, but you don't got to stay behind. You may be down, but the brother about to drop the bomb on you. Jesus stepping on the court. It's 1998. And you about to party like it's 1999. You see what I just did? Okay, because Jesus is a game changer. Now, I know you're in Hebrews, but I'm going to go to Matthew. Game changer. No, I'm just kidding. In Matthew 1, you don't got to turn there. Matthew 1, 18. We should have it up there. Boom! Arial font, make it happen. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed, engaged, per se, to Joseph, before they came together, you know, what married folk do. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Next verse. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example because it wasn't his baby, was minded to put away secretly because he thought she had cheated on him. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord, this is a Christmas story, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take for Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And next verse. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus means Savior, salvation, rescue, for he will save his people from their sins. I believe we have another verse right here. Is there one more? Thank you. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with a child, bear a son. They should call his name, what? Emmanuel. I think we sang something about that. Which is translated, God with us. Okay, stop. See, when Jesus came onto the scene, look, Jesus had always been. He had never been a little baby, but Jesus is God, everlasting Father. He's a Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the Eternal One. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning, and he will be the end. That's Jesus. See, Jesus didn't just start as a little baby. Jesus had always been. Jesus, God, the Son, stepped down from heaven and somehow, some way, was in this little tiny baby. He became a man just like me and you. All of a sudden, it was a game changer. See, humanity, people, me and you, we were down for the count. We were behind. We were losing. There was no chance, no hope, no way out. It was looking pretty bleak. I mean, we had two black eyes and no front teeth. That's what we had. But all of a sudden, when God stepped down from heaven, this happened. You see, before Jesus was born, things were different. And I would even say this, is if you're living life without Jesus, then you're living a life that could use a little more. You're living a life that's short of God's best. You see, what he said is, he said, you will call this boy's name Emmanuel. Now, obviously, his name, they called him Jesus instead of Emmanuel. But that's what we call him today, Emmanuel. Why? Because he's God with us. You see, back in the day before Jesus, God was far away. God was far off. People didn't know if God heard them. You know, people they heard about God. They saw some people worship God. You know, they saw people worship other gods, but they didn't really know if God was for them, if God was against them. They thought God was mad at them. And to be honest, God wasn't too pleased with people. But when Jesus came, everything changed. Because God wasn't God in heaven. He was God with us. It wasn't God far away. It was God with us. See, back in the day, if you wanted to get close to God, you had to go to the priest to talk to God. You couldn't even talk to God. Now, you don't need me to get close to God. You don't need Pastor Michelle, Pastor Jim, Pastor Joe, Donnie. You know, you don't need Jose. Or you don't need little Pepito to get close to God. Because he ain't close anyway. All you need to do is reach out. All you need to do is open your heart. All you need to do is cry out to God. And he's God with us. See, Jesus was a game changer. He was God with us. He was an extraordinary individual. No one like him before. No one going to be like him after. So you got to get this game changer in your life. You see, this is what Christmas is about. Christmas was the change. Christmas was the comeback. Christmas is the time when everything became new. You see, Jesus came. And if you look in the Bible, you look through the Gospels, you look what Jesus said. He said, this is why I've come. I've come to do something. I'm not coming to check things out, not coming to smell the flowers. I'm coming to make something happen. And today, he wants to come into your life. And if he already is, wants to go, he wants to get into your life in a bigger way to make something happen. You see, Jesus came to change it up. He came to mix it up. And I don't know where you're at, but I know with me, I need him to change it up, and I need him to mix it up in my life, because that's why he came, to change it up in your life. See, I love how I think people know that God loves them. I mean, people got T-shirts, people got bumper stickers, Jesus loves you. You know, I think we all know that. Matter of fact, Jesus loves you just the way you are. Jacked up, broken. You know, you could beat somebody up tonight. Well, you shouldn't, but you could. And Jesus would still love you. He may not be too pleased with you, but he still loves you. You can't do anything to make Jesus stop loving you. But you see, the thing about God's love is God loves us enough to accept us just the way you are. with your problems, with your issues, with your hang-ups. God love you with your addictions. God love you with all these things. But you know, God loves us so much that when you come to him, he'll take you just as you are, messed up, beat up, and dirty. But he loves us too much to leave us that way. You see, Jesus stepped on the scene and 30 years old, what did he say? He didn't come around walking around the villages with a sign that says free hugs, which I'm sure he gave free hugs, but you know. He came and what did he say? He said, hey, kingdom's here. God's on the scene. Now it's time to repent. He said, I'm coming to you guys just as you are, but I want to see change in your life. See, that's what God came to do, to change us. Pastor Richard, that's kind of rude. You mean God doesn't like me? No, I'm not saying God doesn't like you. I'm saying God loves you enough to take you broken and make you fixed. God's come to fix you and me. God's come to change our life. I love what it says in Mark. If you guys got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Mark. Oh, snaps. I missed my Hebrews verse. I got so excited. That's okay. I'm going to say it anyway. But go to Mark first. It says this. This is Mark 2:17. Mark 2:17, Jesus says this interesting word. He says this. He says, those who are well have no need of a physician. Well, he's saying this because all the religious leaders began to give him flack. They're saying, Jesus, why are you hanging out with all these sinners? Why are you hanging out with this? Why are you hanging out? Don't you know where they've been? Don't you know what they're doing? Don't you know what words they use? Don't you know what they're smoking? And Jesus is like, so what? I'm here because these people are broken. Jesus said this. He said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I didn't call to come the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus said, I'm here to fix broken stuff. I'm here to change things that need to be changed because I love these people too much to let them self-destruct. See, when you give your heart to God, God's going to get up all in your business. God's going to begin to poke around your life. Not because he don't like you, but because he likes you too much to leave you broken. If you really know God, and the closer you get to him, all of a sudden you're going to begin to feel different about the way you begin to think and do and act. Even today, me and my wife, we talk sometimes and we're thinking, man, I gotta shut up. Right? I mean, there's times where I can feel God say, shut up. You're talking too much, boy. You know, and it's because I'm sick. I got broken things inside of me. I'm a pastor, but I'm still broken in specific parts of my life. And he says, Richard, we got to deal with that. Okay, Jesus, okay. I mean, imagine this. I mean, imagine somebody with a broken leg going to a doctor. Doctor looks at him and says, yep, broken. Cool. Thank you, doctor. I was wondering why this bone was sticking out my leg. I just didn't know. But now that you looked at it, you saw it, that's cool. I was like, that's right. See you. We'll bill you on the way out. You know, I mean, that would be the dumbest thing in the world. That doesn't even make any sense. When you go to see a doctor, you expect to be treated. I mean, if I go to a doctor, I expect drugs or something, you know. Give me pills or a cast, Band-Aid, you know. I mean, what am I paying you for, doctor? You know, I mean, when you go to a doctor, you expect to be treated. I expect to go to the doctor, hurt, and leave better. Cut me open, take it out, do something. If Jesus is the great physician, when you come to Jesus, when you come to church, there should be a change in you. Something that's broken should be fixed. Something that you didn't understand should be understandable. Something you didn't know should be said. Look, when you come to Jesus, whether it's in worship, whether it's right before you go to bed, whether you open up the Bible, if you go to the doctor, they should tell you whether you're well or sick, and if you're sick, they should treat you. Otherwise, why do you have a doctor? Otherwise, why would he be the great physician? That's what he said. He said, look, I'm around jacked up people because jacked up people need to be unjacked up. And in our life, that's who he is. There's this verse. You don't got to turn there, but if you guys put up here Ezekiel 36, this is God saying, this is what's going to happen when the game changer arrives. He says, this is, it's not the way it is now, but this is the way it's going to be. He says, I will give you now. Now is the will give. Now is the I have given. This is a now. This is the offer redeemable right now. The coupon has not expired. You may redeem one free new heart. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. He didn't just say, I'm just going to fix it and tidy it up a little bit. I'm not going to put a band-aid on it. I'm going to replace it completely, outright. Your life sucks. How about I give you a new one? I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. You can feel again. You can love again. Next verse. I'm like, I don't know, on my phone. Next verse. Next verse. Okay. I'll put my spirit, not your old bro, my spirit, capital M, spirit, God's spirit, the game changer, steps inside of your life. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Hard to follow God, I know, but he'll help you out. And you will keep my judgments, and you will do them. He came to change our life. Hebrews 10. 8 through 10. I'm going to bring it all right back around. Jesus said, the way things were are not the way things are going to be. Why? Because the old has passed away and the new is coming to live and stay. Jesus said this. It speaks about Jesus here in Hebrews 10, verse 8. It says, previously it's been said, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor did you have pleasure in them. These things were offered according to the law. Back in the day, you want to be close to God, you had to kill an animal. Kind of gross. We would not be able to have carpet in this church if that's the way it was. We need a big drain and a hose. It'd be gross. That's what they back in the day. Anyway, we won't get into that. But it was gross. Back in the day, that's the best you could do, was try to get close to God. Talk to some dude wearing a robe and hope he prays hard enough that your prayers would be heard. Bring stuff, kill it. Have somebody eat it. That's what it was. That's the way it used to be. And it was a broken system. It was the best we could do, but it was broken. God didn't desire these things. God didn't desire killing animals. He wanted to fix the problem. In verse 9, he says, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He, Jesus, takes away the first, the old way of doing it, so he can establish the second. If you ever notice in your Bible, there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. Old Testament, before Jesus, that's the way people used to live, the way things used to be. Killing animals, living with God, messing up, feeling bad, getting hurt, getting back with God. Living for God, messing up, forgetting God, leaving God, getting hurt, coming back to God. That's the way they used to do it. But then Jesus came in. That was the first, now the better, the second, the New Testament, the part where Jesus in the Bible is the way it's supposed to be, where God's with us, not far away. He came to change our life because he's the game changer. He came to change it up, and then he came to mix it up. Now, here's the crazy thing. It is all of a sudden when a game changer comes into place, people begin to get all ruffled and riled up. Oh, that's not fair. He's taller than us. Oh, that's not fair. We don't have one of those. You can't use that. Back in the day, you know, that game Street Fighter up in our cafe, I used to own at that game. That was my world. That was where I lived. Brother dominated the place with that Chun-Li out to take you down. You don't know what I'm talking about? You can play afterwards. But there was this one thing I couldn't do. I had this friend, Nathan. He would get Ryu. And thank you. You know what I'm talking about. And he would get me in the corner, and he couldn't let he would be cheatsies, man. He would start punching me and kicking me and hadoukening me. Oh man. And he would do all these moves on this video game, and he would get me stuck in the corner. I'm like, you're a punk. And I'd start like punching him and kicking him and throwing the controller saying, it's not fair. So also when a game changer steps in. When something begins to step up, I mean, look, Apple comes out with their iPhone, everybody starts suing them. Oh, it's this and that. Lawsuits happen. This person sues that person sues. It's not fair. It's a rectangle. You can touch it. You can swipe it. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, I need this. Oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, all of a sudden, you know, people start whining and complaining. Same thing happened when Jesus stepped on the scene. See, Jesus came to mix it up. Jesus came to stir the pot up. You know, it's funny because a lot of people think Jesus is like this really nice, sweet guy. Oh, I love you guys. Look at my long hair and my blue eyes. I'm going to ride a donkey and just kiss people on the cheek. And I'm going to magic fairy dust and I'm going to float around because I'm Jesus and I wear a robe. You know, look. No, that is not the way Jesus was. Brother came to stir it up. He came to light this muh on fire. If I can say that. I don't know if I can. I don't even know what I just said. But I said it. Thank you. Thank you. I think that's an appropriate time to clap. I don't know. But in Luke, Jesus said, I came to do this. I came to get down. I came to dance. I came to tear it up. I came to light this thing on fire. Thank you. I was trying to, you know, while I'm getting to my verse here. Luke 12 chapter. Jesus, he like pretty much kind of literally says that. And in Luke, the 12th chapter, can we get ready to wind this thing down, wrap it up? In Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 49, Jesus is talking. And Jesus, in chapter 12, verse 49, he said, I came to set fire on the earth. That ain't butterfly kisses. And it is not Tinkerbell fairy dust. Although I do like Tinkerbell. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying Jesus ain't Tinkerbell. He said, I came to set fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Jesus says, you guys are slacking. Because you guys should have already lit this place up, but if you ain't going to do it, then I'm going to do it. He says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am until it's accomplished. Jesus said, it's time to mix things up because there's a lot of hard work to do. Now, I understand hard work is a dirty word. Hard work is what we do the day before your report's done and you hope your printer has enough ink. I understand that. But Jesus said, I'm coming to set fire to this place and I need people to stand up next to me because we're going to start knocking walls down like Wreck-It Ralph. And I'm going to tell you this, I ain't no sissies allowed in this business. Jesus said, it's going to get ugly, guys. Whoa. I know, huh? I didn't even plan that. He says this. Do you suppose that I came? Listen to this. Do you suppose that I came to give peace? Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? Yes. You're the Prince of Peace. I think so, Jesus. He says, I tell you, no, no, that's the craziest Prince of Peace I've ever heard. He says, no, not at all, but rather division. Now, this is kind of interesting. I don't remember this verse in the Bible. From now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, two against three. Uh-oh, father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law. That's kind of always been around. But and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. See, this Jesus is not trying to start fights in your family, but that's what happens when you stand up for something. You will never, ever fight and argue with anybody if you don't agree with anything. But when you begin to stand up for something, whether right or wrong, you're going to find people that disagree with you. And you and I, if you're going to be a Christian that's going to do anything, you need to be okay with people not liking you. You need to be okay with an argument every once in a while. Look, if you're going to be a Christian, you better put on your big boy chonies and your big girl panties, and you better get ready. You better get ready for somebody to not like you. Because Jesus lived with that every day. There were crowds trying to throw rocks at his head. My child threw a plastic car at my head this morning. I about ready lost it. I'm telling you. You have to be ready for people to begin to throw attacks and assaults at you. Because Jesus didn't come to patty cake. Jesus came to stir it up. I'm going to tell you this. You begin to live for God, you're going to find out very quickly that a lot of people think living for God is wrong. And a lot of people think living for God is not cool. And a lot of people think that living for God is not the way to go. And a lot of people think that living for God is unscientific, and they'll say living for God is not philosophically correct, and they'll say living for God is offensive to this specific group of people or that specific group of people. What about those other people? What about the children? What about the children? I came to set it on fire! Let's mix it up. Let's mix it up. Hey, somebody's not going to like you. Chances are, a lot of people ain't going to like you. So how about you give them a reason? Not like that. I'm not saying you got to be like the B word or something like that. But I am saying this. If people aren't going to like you anyway, then how about they not like you for doing something right and good? I don't want people disliking me because I'm a jerk. I would rather people hate me because I do the right thing. Jesus came to light it up, to set this place on fire. It's time to do hard things. There was about 150 or so years ago, 200 years ago, there was a man named Hudson Taylor, white dude, went to China to be a missionary when it was, like, really uncool to be a missionary. And it was like pulling teeth to get people to go be a missionary with him because the church thought it was wrong. They thought it was bad to go tell people about Jesus. Really weird, but anyway, that's a different story. And he was in his office one day trying to recruit missionaries. And this Scottish man came in. He was a Scottish school teacher. Brother only had one leg. So he comes in. Hudson Taylor's looking at him. And this was before they had, like, a lot of really nice roads. And it was pretty tough and diseases and all that kind of jazz. And Hudson looks at him and says, "Sir, you have one leg. What makes me think that you can make it on the mission field?" This Scottish teacher looks him in the eye and says this. He says, "Sir, I don't see many people with two legs going. So I figured you could take a man with one leg." Guess who made it to the mission field? The Scottish teacher. It's about time we stop making excuses and do hard things. It's about time we stop trying to make everybody like us. Fit in with this crowd or that crowd. Because in the end, it's only going to be you and Jesus. It's the only crowd you need to look forward to. It ain't going to be easy. Sometimes it's not going to be fun. Pastor Richard, this is not a very happy message. That's okay, because I can't just set it on fire. Pastor Richard, sometimes I'm kind of lonely. Yeah, me too. We'll be lonely together. But look, I didn't come here just to make friends. I came here to mix it up. I came here to be changed and to change this place. 2 Timothy 3:12. You don't got to turn there. It says all, A-L-L, just like the detergent. That's all. All who desire to live godly lives will suffer persecution. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There was a man who came to this famous preacher one day. His name was D.L. Moody. Crazy story. Anyway, the man came up, and he was wondering if he should give his heart to God. He was talking to this preacher, and that's the dumbest thing in the world. Ask a preacher, you're supposed to give your heart to God. He said, "Pastor," I want to get this right. He said, "Pastor, if I give my life to Christ, do I have to give up living for the world?" So Moody said, "No, you don't need to give up the world. Because if you give a true testimony of the Son of God, the world will give you up pretty quick. They're not going to want you around. If you really live for God, you're going to find that your life is going to stir the pot. The thing that grows... that will grow your life the fastest in the things of God is when you're persecuted." Look, praying for somebody and watching God answer it, that'll change you. Look, having a good life and being blessed, God answering your prayers, that'll change your life. But nothing will change and grow your life the fastest as having hard, difficult things happen to you. Nothing will get your family, your friends, the people around you changed for God faster than them watching you endure hardship for your faith. The fastest way to change somebody's life is to have them watch a Christian go through hard times. There was a missionary that was beaten and tortured for 7 years in a country named Burma. And finally, he was released by the president, by the dictator. And this missionary came back to that president and said, "Hey, I'd like to come back to your country, but to a different state in it." The president looked at him and said, "No, I'm not letting you back in. I know they're not going to be changed by your words, but they'll see the scars we put on your wrists and your back. And they won't be changed by your words, they'll be changed by your scars. You are not allowed back in this country." It's time we stir it up. It's time that you let God change you. It's time that we live a life in such a way that people can see the Jesus Christ on the inside of us. Because when you get Jesus inside of you, it's a game changer. Because Jesus wants to change the game of your life. He came to change it up if we would just repent and let him change us. And he came to mix it up in our life. Not just to make things peaceful or easy, but he came to make things right. And we live in a world that doesn't want to be right. That's our job. Not the easy one, the hard one. If you guys got anything out of God tonight, let's give him praise.